Welcome back to the Fortitude Show. It's your co-host, Jay Cavron.
And Emily Ford. And today we are going to be talking to you all about speaking tips. This has got to be one of the top DMs I get, besides what are you eating? What are you wearing? How do you be more feminine? It's how can I communicate better? And I don't just mean speaking tips on a stage, because I believe we're all on the stage of life, right? And if you are making any content, you're speaking, right? You're a communicator. So let's talk about some speaking tips.
Yeah. And you know, why I wanted to share this is because if you could just apply this one specific tip we're going to teach you today, this can completely change the way that you not only are going to feel on stage, but also how people are going to receive your message. And this reminds me of actually just before this recording here, our cameraman was sharing about a story of Christopher on how he was recording one of my VIP days with one of my clients, helping him with speaking. And I was helping him. He's building a business and learning how to build this framework. And I'm teaching my client this framework I'm about to teach you. And I'm over here, you know, just knowing that Christopher's recording this, and but not really knowing how much he's absorbing. Well, I come to find out that a few days later, he is now getting ready to speak at his church about a specific topic. And he thought he had the right answer. But then the day before, he's like, no, that's not it. I got to scratch it. And he was just really simmering what he needs to do. And he came back to this idea of this framework that I was teaching my client. He's like, I need to follow this framework. And so he literally was sharing this right before this episode. That's why I felt so inclined to share this. So he goes up on stage, follows this framework, does it differently than what he probably would have originally done. And he's telling us with just absolute conviction, he was like, this was the first time after I finished speaking that I got a standing ovation and these people were moved. And he was like, I almost had to look down because I didn't want to tear up or show too much emotion because it was such an impactful, unforgettable moment. And it made me really think about it. It's like, how do you create an unforgettable presentation? How do you create emotion that is driven in a way that people receive it more? And that's why I wanted to teach that today, because I know if you're listening right now, whether you're talking to a group of two people or 2,000 or 20,000, there is a framework you follow. Now, the framework is not where it's robotic and this is the means to success. You still have to bring your own essence into it. But what I want to share with you is what I call the SLS. This SLS framework allows for you to drill in a lesson and an impactful message that most people don't do. Because the issue is, Em, and you could add into this, and we'll talk about what each one means in a second, don't worry. But the issue is people like to teach the lessons so much ahead of before they share anything else that it loses its punch. Where instead, if you bake a lesson into a story, which is the first S, story, the L is lesson, the second S is strategy, story, lesson, strategy. When you bake it, and you got to think of it, like if you're a comedian, imagine a comedian that gives away the punchline before they tell the buildup of the joke. The punchline will lose all its impact. That's what makes comedians great, is they know how to create a buildup without you knowing what that punchline is, and then it hits you. You get that laughter, that aha moment. But it's the same when you're on stage speaking, is when you tell a story, that story has that lesson baked in without it being too obvious. That now when you drill that in and you provide that lesson up front, it actually makes people go, whoa, it creates an aha moment. You know what I mean?
Yes. Storytelling is everything. I think for a multitude of reasons. I think number one, it really lets someone get to know who you are, especially if it's a story about yourself, about your life. It's like this way, even I think about our pastor at church, sometimes before he or when he's going into a sermon, he'll share a story about maybe his kids or his wife or something. And you get to see their life almost in a different lens because it's through his storytelling. Stories are memorable. People oftentimes will remember, you know, the point you're trying to get across through a story, especially if it's told in a very engaging, entertaining way. And it really does connect you back to whatever the point is someone's trying to make. If you go listen or go to any of Tony Robbins' events, you know, most of the time, a lot of the time, he is just telling stories. And he's just gotten really good at telling stories. And you're so lost in the story that you're like, oh yeah, there's a point to this. There's a lesson to this.
Well, that's where it actually, this stemmed from, is this model. I was, when I got into the speaking world and I was trying to learn, and I, you know, I've been exposed to so much of Tony's content, and I'm like, how does he captivate an audience of 15,000 people for 12 hours a day?
Yeah.
And through hearing different people's insights and studying it myself, I'm like, he is a master at following the SLS framework. He always leads with a story to keep you captive. Because the moment you tell an enthralling story, now if you tell a boring story, you're going to lose people, right? So there's still a mastery to the story. That's a different conversation. But when you tell a story that has maybe complete opposite context to the lesson you're going to drive, it's like the joke. You don't want to make it where the punchline is obvious, because then people know it's coming. But if you tell a story that's captivating and it's got something that's completely different than what that lesson is, that's what Tony does. And he tells us an enthusiastic story, but then he drills in the lesson. That's when he says, that's when life is happening for you, not to you. Yeah. And he drills that lesson. And now when you're listening to this, and you might know exactly what I'm talking about because you've heard his content or maybe other people, you're like, oh my gosh, because you're now taking that lesson and using all those past references of that story. Be like, you know, that moment when I was broken down and I could have decided to not move. This is where I could choose life is happening for me, not to me. And it made me stronger. Maybe so you have past references through that story. And so for you as a speaker, you trying to be more captivating, unforgettable, stop giving away the lessons or the teaching points so fast. What happens is, as a keynote speaker or someone that has bullet points want to talk about, this is what they do. This is a big mistake I see they do. They say, all right, okay, so we're going to talk about how to perform better in the business. I'm going to give you 5 bullet points, right? And all right, bullet point number 1 is you want to blah, 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 blah.
Snooze fast.
You already gave away what you're trying to teach. And so, yes, there might be a small percentage of people still listening, but they're not intrigued to listen. Instead, you say you got 5 bullet points. You want to give them expectations. And when you get to that first point, I'm like, all right, so bullet point number 1. When I was really thinking about this and I was planning out what makes the most sense, it actually brought me back to when I was first starting off in entrepreneurship, and you go right into a story. Did I give it away? No, but I had a nice streamline of saying, it makes me go back to, you know, when I was starting out entrepreneurship and I was doing this and doing that and life happened, blah, blah, blah. You give this whole story. And I say, that's when I realized that life happens for you, not to you. And you today, my bullet point number 1 is you have to have the mindset that life is always happening for you. How much more impactful is, I just made that random example, but how much more impactful is that lesson of that bullet point versus me just telling you up in the front?
Major.
And you,
yeah.
The problem is that people just reveal their cards too fast. It doesn't mean you don't reveal. Don't be the type of person that says, well, you got to buy my course to get all the answers. No, give the answers, yeah. But there's an appropriate timing to it.
Absolutely. And in sales, you know, we'd always share this, like facts tell, stories sell.
Mm-hmm.
Stories is the thing that connects you. It humanizes you. So if you're in a profession where you're like, gosh, some of my stats and figures, or even if you're in a sales pitch where you're pitching your offer, that can be kind of boring or not have a lot of emotion to it. For some people, negative emotion, because it could be like a money thing. But when you connect a testimonial to it, a story to it, that goes, drives so much deeper than just spewing all the facts. And, you know, I had to really learn this in speaking when it came to like, okay, write your first keynote speech. The first time I ever did it, it was horrible. I look back and I'm like, I crammed, you know, 10 speeches into one of facts. Of, it's like I wanted to impress the people, and I thought, I have to show that I know so much in order to garner their respect. I did not tell enough stories. In fact, if I were to like watch the tape, oh my gosh, I don't want to watch the tape, but if I did, it was like I was trying to cram, fact, and there was not as much emotional connection. Because I didn't trim the fat, so to speak, and just focus on let's drive one main point across. I find with a lot of amateur speakers today, they want to get so much in that people leave and they're like, well, what was that even about? That was so much facts.
Mm-hmm.
They're not left changed or motivated, or just if you can just give someone one idea that they can put in their back pocket and go home and utilize, that's going to be game changer versus cramming in 10 different subjects in one speech.
That's right. You got to think of it like this. Like if you're trying to go to the Pentagon, right? No average. I'm just giving an example. You go there and no average person can just walk into the Pentagon. You need to have a badge. You need to have some sort of vehicle or vessel to get you in. It's the same thing with speaking. If you just try to be an average person going to the Pentagon, like giving just a bunch of facts to your audience, none of it gets access beyond their mind. It just sits there. It might look good. It might nod their head, but it's not penetrating deep into their actual subconscious. But the moment you give the fact, a story that's packaged in, it's like that person that actually has a badge that is allowed to go in the Pentagon, they now have access to go inside. And some of you are really good at understanding logic and reasoning and being able to have lessons, but you don't have that badge to access. You need to package your things in a story. And if you look at it, even back thousands of years ago, even to the time of Jesus, when he's on Sermon on the Mount, teaching powerful lessons to people in that time who were not that literate, right? This was thousands of years ago. He was able to teach things that we still apply to this day, lessons that are moralistically sound, that are life-changing through stories. So one of the parables or the Beatitudes is the parable of the talents. Right. Many people have heard this before, maybe if not this is your first time, but Jesus is teaching a very powerful message within a story that people don't really know what's going on at first, right? It's the king or the master gives to his slaves his talents, which is a certain amount of money. That's just the phrase, and gives them all a certain amount. Now he tells them to go and take care of them. And two of the people actually go and multiply the talents, and they make like basically double. And they come back and they say, Lord, this is what we have done and this is what we provided, and here's not five, but 10. And he's like, good job, well done, good and faithful servant. You know, you're like, I'm very pleased, basically. And I'm just paraphrasing this all, but you can understand where I'm going with this. Then the third servant comes and says, Lord, like, I know that this was something that you really honored. So instead of trying to go and duplicate it, I actually buried it and put it so no one could take it. But he brought it around back the same time. And when you think about that, they're like, oh, he was being safe and he was taken care of it. But no, the master gave him the talents to go multiply it and to go and duplicate it. And that's the purpose. But instead he was fearful, so he actually put it away. And so the servant actually got punished because of that. He said, I gave you this and you did not do anything. And now why is that so important? Because this drives a deep lesson for those that were listening, that when God gives you his resources, his giftings, he wants you to go multiply it. One of the worst things you could do, in my opinion, and it's kind of just biblically stated, is you get these beautiful gifts and you hide them and you don't do anything with them. And you live life putting it in the ground, not multiplying the gifts he's given to you. That message resonates still to this day because of that parable, that lesson of go and multiply the things that God has given you. He's put you in a position to go and risk it for his greater glory, to go and do the things he's told you to do. Why is that so powerful? Because of the story. And it's no different when you tell a story. Doesn't mean you have to go tell a parable. Doesn't mean you have to go do that. But go find a story that drills in a lesson. For example, if I want to talk about this idea of ready, fire, aim, and this is a powerful thing that I live by, I won't just say, you know what? One of the ways that you need to be successful, so you got to have a ready, fire, aim mentality. And that's what you mean this and that. Many other people have said that. But if I drill in and be like, you know, one of the most transformative things that happened in my life that I hope you can resonate with is it goes back to when, and I go through my story of 2019, I stood up, got called in front of 15,000 people to tell Tony I'm going to speak on stages all the world. I was afraid. I had never spoken on stage before, but I stepped into it. If you know my story, you know it. If not, you could go on my Instagram and see it. I'm not going to go through it all. But then in that moment, when that bureau came up and said, I got an opportunity for you, and I risked it all, and she sees something in me, and I'm like, okay, and I get my first speaking gig. In that moment, I realized sometimes in life, you got to take a ready, fire, aim approach. You might not know where the target is. You might not know where you're shooting, but if you ready, fire, you might not be perfect, but then you aim and recalibrate. That's how you move forward, so you don't get this syndrome of going ready, aim, 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 and opportunity's gone. That message, that lesson is so much more drilled in when I teach it that way, because my story carries that way, even though they don't know it. It's an example, and now people can reflect, because the moment you go into a story, if it's a good story, people go into a hypnotic state. They start to not just hear your story, but they start to think of references in their own mind. Oh, that reminds me of when I left my job. Oh, I remember that when, you know, Emily's going through that with her, you know, being raised single mom. I was raised by, you know, my only brother. Like, they start to go into hypnotic states. So there's a lot of connection. And then you drill this lesson where they're like, oh, I didn't realize that. You know, we hear this thing called aha moments. Like, we'll be like, oh my gosh, that makes so much sense. What aha moments happen when you package that lesson into the story without them knowing, and then you reveal it and say, surprise, this is the thing I taught you, and that's what you got. And they're like, that makes so much sense. That's an aha moment. And I don't think, and that's why Christopher got that standing ovation, because he most likely packaged this beautiful lesson through his own story.
Like, he did.
And
his testimony.
He shared his testimony, shared what he's doing now, because of that lesson was packed in there without just teaching lessons. He was teaching it through his story. And I don't think enough speakers are doing that. That's why they're not being unforgettable. That's why you're not getting booked for more gigs. That's not why you're not getting...
The depth is, and it humanizes absolutely everything, especially if you're in sales or whatever you're trying, whatever point you're trying to get across. You know, I do think, and there's so much validity and greatness about having figures and stats, and it just depends on what kind of product you're selling. Some people want to hear more of that that kind of stuff of the psychological aspect of something you're teaching, but it's the story that hooks people. And so what I like to do is collect stories. And because sometimes there'll be an opportunity to come up, like Christopher had the opportunity to like share his whole thing at his church. Like, there'll be opportunities that come up, whether you get asked on a stage or on a call, or even if you just decide to create your own stage and go on Instagram Live or create a reel, where you're like, dang, what's a story that could like tie back into this? And so often when I'm writing speeches, I'm searching my brain for stories of how could I connect back to this? And I like to really add in personal stories so the audience can get to know who I am on a deeper level. So what I actually started to do, and I learned this from a pastor who's also a speaker, he like created a log on his phone of stories, you know, and he just like writes out tons of different little, he doesn't write the whole story, but little points, a little lessons along the way that could be a great story. So then when he goes to create his material, he has so many different stories, from his kids doing certain things to, you know, him, traumatic experiences at the airport or whatever.
That's good.
You know,
that's a really good tip. And going back to the client I was working with, where Christopher got to see those things. So most times when you're speaking and you have a topic that you want to speak on, the lessons are usually the easiest thing, because those are the things that stand out to the most.
Yeah.
So what happens, and I'm going to reference to the client I was working with, he built a very successful company, sold it for a multiple exit. Now he wants to be a speaker. And I'm like, okay, we really need to package you up and to be a speaker. So he had all these lessons of creating this culture of, and I won't share all of it, but it's in detail unique to him. And so what happens is you have these lessons. So then you have to reverse engineer. Okay, what story can I think of, whether it's a personal story in my business? Maybe it's not, you're in a position where it's not always going to be personal stories. It could be using someone that's publicly known, whether it's a company, a certain brand, and you use their story to then teach your lesson. That's okay. Because some people might have imposter syndrome and say, well, I don't have a successful business or not. You could still teach really good lessons, not saying you did it, but using it through other people's stories. And so you can find those. So what you want to do is you literally reverse engineer and you say, okay, this lesson, what would be a good story? Okay, well, what about that story? So you figure out the story. And then the third part, people are like, wait, where's the last S? the strategy. The strategy is really about like, how do you equip the people to actually walk away with something and not just have a good insightful lesson, but they don't know what to do. You want to give, it doesn't mean you have to do a full on workshop training, 5-step this or that. It's just something to equip them with. And so the strategy is then you usually think about that after, what is something that I can teach that can equip them? So if I'm going to teach this SLS, or let's say I'm going to teach this idea of ready, fire, aim, better, that's the better example. I'm like, okay, well, what story? Oh my gosh, that Tony story. Okay, how am I going to play it so that bakes in nicely? Okay, got it. Okay, what's the strategy? Well, I'm going to have the people that I'm teaching this just to think about a moment where they've aimed for too long and they missed it. That's a simple strategy. Just like it's something that you're actually going to do with the audience or have them think of. So right now, think of something where you've aimed and aimed and aimed and that opportunity is gone. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe that one that got away, right? Maybe it's that business opportunity. Maybe it's the decision you should have made on, are you going to sell the business or not? Like, where did you aim too long? That alone makes people go, I see it. That's a strategy of them being, I see that in my own life. Now, and then you could equip them with maybe one more thing. This is just what I would do. And I would say, what can you do in the next situation when you have a ready, fire, aim approach? How do you identify when you're in that moment that you need to fire before you aim? And so, cause some people are like, well, how do I know this moment? How do I know when I should actually like take the shot? And even if I miss it, well, if you have absolute certainty, if you know that this is to your core in alignment, this feels like this is the right decision, even though you don't have all the answers, this is where faith comes in. This is everything in life. You're not going to have every single answer to show you that it's the right shot. You're going to have to make decisions based off of the gut instinct you have, maybe a few key sources around you, but you have to make that decision even though it's not 100% certainty. And just me teaching that strategy will allow people to be equipped. Now, that's a very specific example, but this could be different for if you're teaching health and wellness. Maybe you're teaching about real estate. The strategy is just something to equip them so they don't leave. The last thing you want is, I've seen speakers that are so motivational, inspirational. They're so good at storytelling. They have beautiful lessons. I have aha moments. But then I leave there and I'm like, well, how do I apply this into my life?
Yeah, what do I do with
like, this? What was the thing I was supposed to like? And it's like, oh, they missed a little
piece. Yeah, I think there's just this level of assumption, like, oh, they got it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they just forget. Like, no, you really need to teach them something to apply. And again, I keep going back to like sermons because I think of like the best sermons, like even at church, it's like he always writes out the bullet points of how to remember this lesson and then what to do, like reverse engineer it. And again, even if you can leave them with one thing that they can apply, that is going to carry so much weight rather than just being like, okay, there's the lesson, you know? And so I'm really big on that. And then if there's not a lot of time to expand on a lesson, that's where you can further your relationship with them by connecting on social, you know, join my program, things like that. If someone's wanting to really learn even more, because it's like, let's just be real. Like if you're giving a 30-minute speech, you don't often have a lot of time to go into how to heal from trauma or something like that.
That's right. And if it is tighter talks, the strategy literally is, it's once again, like Emily said, it's not a complex thing. It's literally having them think, when was the last time you've missed that shot because you've aimed too long? That alone is enough for them to be like, oh shoot, this makes sense now. Because it's not just about them listening to you. This is the moment where you pivot it back to them and you make it an internal thing that is related to the person in the audience. That alone could be the enough strategy if you only have that amount of time. You don't have to have a complex process. I've had multiple people say that, oh my gosh, well, what if I don't know like 5 steps? I don't have that time. It's like, no, just realize that this is somewhat when you're speaking, and I'll just say this, it doesn't matter what industry you're in, you want to have some sort of dialogue. And even if it's not them actually speaking at you, you better internally have them speaking at you in the sense of you're asking questions or you're invoking something, provoking, as I should say, for them thinking, oh man, that is relevant to me. When did I do that? How can I change? That's a dialogue that you can have where most people, when they speak, it's just straight monologue. They're just speaking up there because they want to be heard.
And they're just yelling at you.
And they're just yelling at you. And they're not really drilling in this process of this SLS, whether they know it or not. And I felt so compelled to share this with you because I don't know where you're at in your life. I don't know if you know, just a few years ago, I've never even had one speaking gig. And now here we are speaking on stages all over the world. You can pivot this quick. You can make things happen. But I didn't learn this SLS till just not long ago. I wish I would have known it sooner because I thought I had to be the guy that taught all the lessons, just like how you shared earlier, because I needed to prove myself. Yeah. But the reality is there's a time and place. And if you're on a stage for 30 minutes, you don't have, or it's not ethically right to try to teach an 8-hour workshop in a 30-minute keynote.
What was one of your examples?
I had a speaking gig. So I started off by doing workshops, so 8 hours. So that's all I knew. And because I'd be like, I'm not here to just rah-rah people. Let me come in, train an entire day. It was a real estate company a couple years ago. And I came in and trained them full 8 hours on like a blueprint to human influence, like how to do sales with integrity through influence. And they were blown away. Then a couple months later, I get a 60-minute speaking opportunity. And I'm trying to pack all that in, or majority of that, into a 60-minute, because I'm thinking I need to give the same set of value. I don't want to be a rah-rah guy. And it was just so much information. Some people loved it, but it wasn't as impactful as it can, because the reality is keynotes are not supposed to be a workshop.
You did what I did. Like, we crammed in.
We crammed it in.
Yeah, and it's just...
There's a reason why there's a workshop experience and there's a keynote experience. Keynote experience is meant to follow, even though you could still follow the SLS framework for when you're teaching things for 8 hours, you should still have that. If I'm trying to teach a big lesson in this 8-hour framework, I'm going to start with a story, because people walk away and they'll still remember that story months later. Just like how Tony can do 12-hour days, and people still remember his content. So in a keynote, though, you gotta take it easy on the lessons. People remember the stories. If they want to continue to work with you, then they'll bring you in for a workshop. Maybe they'll work with you one-on-one. But there is that time and place on that. So
good.
Yeah. The SLS framework. It's powerful.
Yeah.
Don't underestimate simplicity.
Yeah. And really, what I do, because I'm so visual, what I do is I write it out. I write SLS, and then I fill in the blank, and that's how I start putting together a talk. Even if, I gave an acceptance speech at the LA Grammy Museum, and I did the same thing for an acceptance speech. For a 4-minute acceptance speech, I was like, quick hook, which is a story, the lesson, and, tied it all together with what I'm walking away with and what I want them to walk away with. Like, that was getting an award.
That becomes more impactful when you do it that way.
Versus oh my God, thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
Here's five things I'm going to have you walk away. It's like, no, they heard so many things from other people. This brings up, and I won't say his name for now. He's always a great friend. He hit me up a couple of days ago. He's like, Jake, he's like, I'm about to go speak at this event in Chicago. It's probably 100 people. He's usually on a bunch of panels, but he's like, this is my first time. I'm like kind of speaking up front and I'm getting more comfortable with it, but I want your insight. So I get on a call with him. I really respect this guy. And so he's speaking, he only has 15 minutes. And so he has three main points he wants to drive in. He speaks so much about giving massive value without expectations, because he lives it. So he's going through, and if I wouldn't have said anything to him, he still would have created great impact, because he naturally has a great story. But I made little tweaks, and one of them is he used to be in the Marine Corps, and he was telling a story or talking about the Marine Corps, and then to teach a lesson about the values that they follow. But the way he was talking about it, it kind of bored me. I was like, he was talking about, then I got recruited into the Marine Corps, and we would do this and we'd do that. And there was no substance. And he was talking about, in the Marine Corps, then you learn a lot about values and all. I'm like, you're not drilling this lesson of values that you could. It could still work, but it's not impactful. I was like, what if you did this? What moment in your life when you were in the Marine Corps was so visceral that it made those values stand out? And it was so cool. And I didn't even share this with you because it was so recent. This was when I was up, that one night when I was doing a call 9 o'clock at night, and it was with him. And you could see like he got into a state because he put himself in that story. Because this is how you tell really good stories, is when you actually lived it. And he's like, there was this moment when we were at so-and-so bunker on the East Coast, and there was a battle in so-and-so, and they called us up at 4 a.m. and they said that we had to go overseas, get in there. I'm this young guy. We're all freaking out. This guy over here is like calling his mom up crying because we think we're not coming back home. I'm getting chills thinking about this because he's telling me this like he's in real time doing it. And he's like, in that moment, that's when I just knew that like I had to commit and I had to move forward. I was like, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
You caught my attention so much telling the story in first person at a peak of the moment. And I was like, this is where you now drill in that lesson of values, because I was still kind of guiding him. I was like, because he was, this is very intricate, but I hope people are resonating with this, because this is the little changes. He was saying, well, you know, and I'm over here, like I'm seeing this, you know, people call up their moms. I was like, no, don't step out of the scene. Stay in the scene. When you're telling the story, say, I'm looking to my left and I see one of my guys calling his mom up, crying on the phone. This person thinks we're not living it. Like, stay in the moment, because it keeps me in the moment. And then when he says, then 6 months later, you know, we come back, we did the whole escapade. That's when you drill in the lesson. And he said, and this was the moment when I realized that these values that people live by, I could have easily uncommitted myself. I could have easily stepped away. But because the Marine Corps' values is commit, and I, correct me if I'm wrong, if I'm botching this, but like a commitment, courage, and the third one was like honor. He's like, I naturally had that baked in me. So when I had could have called my mom and said, fly me home, I committed to that job because of those values. And then he flips it to then the strategy, because he's speaking to entrepreneurs. So it's not just, oh, look at him. It's like, so who, what about you and your company? What are the values you're baking in? So whether it's whether it's just you yourself, or you have one employee or 100, what are the values that when crap hits the fan, they're going to still follow that, even though they can maybe not come back again? And this is an extreme example, but in business, it might feel that way for them. That changed that entire story. And so I hope just sharing that, you can start to see how you might be watering down your story. Get in the moment. Talk about a peak thing, drill in the lesson after, don't reveal it early, and then flip it to the audience so it's relevant to them. And that's that SLS framework. So
good. So take this, put it in your back pocket, make sure to take it out of your back pocket before it goes into the laundry. Okay. We all have those things that have been in the laundry and you're like, ah, but really use it and watch like how much people really lean in, how much it perfects your sales process, your, just ultimately all that you do. You can do it in a micro way, just a couple minute moment. You can do it in a 60 minute moment. There should be multiple SLSs, and you're going to see significant change in your storytelling and in your sales and in your speaking.
Absolutely. So if you found value out of this, please let us know by first tagging this video. It means so much. We just felt compelled to share this specific tip. And so on Instagram or Facebook or wherever on social media, tag It's Emily at Jake Havron. Share that with us, because we'll make sure to share it with you. And also, our only ask out of this is that if once again you found value and this actually makes a change, just like how Christopher shared with us a few days ago, he heard those things and he applied it. He's like, oh my gosh, you got a standing ovation. We hope that that actually happens to you and you actually apply this. Is to go on to the podcast, that whatever you're listening, whatever platform, and just leave a review, hopefully, you know, 5-star.
Leave a 5-star.
And just write out like what was a takeaway for you, because the reviews are the bridge to the people that don't know us yet. And they look at your testimonies, your stories, your example, to see if they want to listen to us, because time is one of the most valuable assets, and taking about 5 or 10 seconds to do it means so much. So we appreciate you. And as always, we'll be having more value to come. See you next time.